Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast. In the morning.
Yeah. And Nan's back after her operation.
Thanks.
Okay, you've got a car. You've got pill boxes on the table, Megan.
Yeah.
Let's go through them. What have we got here?
One's Panadol. Don't get excited.
Boring.
That's a right off of a pill box.
I've still got a sore shoulder. So if you've got something strong.
There's Tramadol there. You might fall off your seat, though.
We don't need you on the trammies.
No.
I think that's for after the show.
You don't need a trammies. Yeah, that's when you're going to have the afternoon sitting down.
I got my screws in a jar.
Have you got them here?
No, I didn't bring them. Do you know you have to sign like all this stuff to get your implants back?
It's so weird to think that they opened you up and took those giant screws out of you and then sewed you back up.
They just made a wee cut and then went zzz on the drill, reverse.
Did they reverse it out?
I think so.
I always like forget which one's reverse. I'm like,
yeah. My drill's got an arrow forward and an arrow back, and you change the direction, and then you give it a little bit of a zzz, and then you're like, what, the other way? And then you got to turn it right up to 10, otherwise it goes, and it skips. Shit, I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah, well, what did you think they did?
I don't know. I cut it open.
And do they use like screws from like Mitre 10 Mega?
They do just look like something you'd put, like, really long screws. Like,
that's weird,
you could just put in a fence or something.
God, you'd want them galvanised.
you wouldn't want to
open Megan up and find they'd rust it out. Because you know when you get a rusted out screw and it breaks off in the thing and you're like, what do I do now?
Just leave it in there, sew it back up.
Yeah.
Put a bit of bog on the top and away you go.
Apparently, you know how they say in that song, this is how we do it down in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's having amazing benefits for tourism there.
I heard that.
Because billions of...
Really? Well, we'll go to Puerto Rico and see how it's done down in Puerto Rico.
It sounds fun, so I'm going to go and try it down there.
I haven't seen the video, but is Puerto Rico in the video as well?
I haven't seen the video either.
Because it had billions of views. I don't know why I haven't seen the video.
Is there a video?
Okay, I'm going to put that on there. Yeah, it's had billions of views, and that's why people are like,
oh, okay,
let's go down and see it how they do it in Puerto Rico. Are you Googling
now? It does
look
like they're having fun in Puerto Rico.
Well, 2 months ago, Puerto Rico needed all the help it could get.
It was bankrupt.
It had to restructure a $70 billion debt.
Maybe this is just
so that's how they do it down in Puerto Rico. They just keep ticking it up.
So tick up a holiday and go to Puerto Rico.
You lot, listen up. It's story time.
Three headlines. Vaughn and Megan, pick one story only. The others are deleted forever. Headline one, Australians take their eyes off the road. Headline two, priest might want to practice what he preaches. And headline three, horny turtles delay flights.
Horny turtles delay flights. It's a bit much for this time of the morning on a Monday.
Sure.
What was number one?
Australians take their eyes off the road.
Okay. I know that somebody...
Are you Googling?
No.
Stop it.
Oh.
Karma. You just got a... You
that
got
like real pain.
So there was turtles that delayed it at JFK Airport. Is that right?
Yes.
Because they were on the runway having
were
some
they?
Good times.
And they let them... They let them.
Well, because you know JFK's right by the sea, isn't it?
Mm.
Or the
they should
river, whatever it is.
They should. They should let them.
Yeah,
do it.
So
don't interrupt them. And then move them on. Australians take eyes off the road. I think
we'll go next door.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Police in Australia's second largest city, Victorian Police in Melbourne, did a sting for 2 hours. Last week to catch drivers on their phone. They were like, okay, we want it. They do, you know, they do this here, don't they? You've been done, yeah, born, haven't you?
And a New Plymouth, but that was only because I was passing the phone to you to tell me where to go for direction's sake.
Thank you.
That's what you told her.
That's 100% what happened.
They caught 53 people on Thursday and issued them with notices. Okay, people are on their phones, but it's not what you may think because a lot of those people were actually watching videos. A couple of them, according to police, were even watching pornographic videos.
While driving.
While driving.
What time was of the day was
stop,
this?
Start traffic?
It doesn't say what time of the day it is, but I'm guessing it would have been either on the way to work or on the way home.
I feel like on the way home is more appropriate than on the way.
Like a morning movie as opposed to an afternoon movie.
I'm not specifically going to reference pornographic movies, but having been stuck in the odd bit of rush hour traffic, thankfully we kind of avoid it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Every now and then you get stuck in a bit of rush hour traffic.
Well, you're going 5Ks.
I can't blame people for doing something like passing the time. God, it's so boring.
Well, apparently one man had two phones. One was to watch movies. On the other, he was on the phone to his friends talking.
Oh, so my God.
The ultimate multitasker there. Yeah, a lot of people with social media apps open. A lot of people, watching videos.
That would have to be, if you got stuck in rush hour traffic every day, that would have to be the biggest appeal of public transport. Being able to get on and have...
Watch a movie.
An iPad or a laptop and with movies on it, or that, you can save things off Netflix. Or
your favourite radio station podcast form.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Oh, everybody listening
for
now.
The people driving.
Yeah.
That's for the people driving. You can still do that because it doesn't require your eyes. But if you were on public transport, you can kind of, that would be me. I could catch public transport to work.
Yeah.
You just watch.
Why don't you?
You get an episode of House of Cards every day.
Why don't you? Because the bus goes down now every morning now really early.
You know how I struggle to get here on time anyway. the earliest bus possible wouldn't get me here till 6:10.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So that could be a problem.
So you'd be arriving now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, but at least
you would have seen an episode of House of Cards.
Exactly. And at this time of the morning, I might be the only person on the bus. Perhaps I could watch... No, I wouldn't watch porn.
FEM.
Don't have to think about this because we're not old.
Yeah.
But, when you die and your obituary... Well, it's more of a little, what do they call it in the paper? The memoriam.
Yeah.
Memorial section.
The death notices.
Yeah. Tells you who's dead. Generally, she's pretty basic, but her details on where maybe the funeral's going to be, if it's public or lieu of flowers.
I'll tell you why it's basic, because you're paying per word. So just just be like, Fletcher's dead. Funeral here, laters.
He wouldn't want you to come anyway.
In fact, don't even say laters because that's an extra couple of dollars.
How much per word? Because every now and then, because we were the same company that owns us owns the New Zealand Herald. That's why they write nice things about us. the reception, you have to come in and pay cash for the death notices. So occasionally you'll see a slightly lost looking old person in reception. I've said to a couple of people, are you okay? And they say, oh, I'm here for a death notice. I'm like, oh, I see the ladies at reception. And that's where they have to pay and they give them the words and they pay per word and they pass it up. But I don't know how much it is per word.
Well, we can ask them when they get in the morning.
And do we get a discount?
You'd hope so.
Oh, an employee discount.
Yeah. When you die.
Would you then write twice, say it's a 50% discount, would you write twice as much or just be happy to write the same brief thing for half the price?
Oh, I'd probably include a photo from her youth.
Oh, just a photo extra.
I think, of course they are.
Bloody madness. I'd love to see the pricing plans of these death notices.
Little logos and stuff, yeah. Why does this concern you anyway?
The newspaper in business. Everyone still keeps dying.
Probably.
Well, I was just thinking, when my grandparents died, she was pretty basic, like father of, grandfather of, blood funeral here. That's kind of the, and now I know why you pay per word, but how much would this one have cost? This is lengthy and savage. Savage. June's dead. Nana's dead. June Miller, born 12th of June 1934 in Missouri, left us on Thursday, the 23rd of February, so this is a little bit old. Died alone after a long battle with drug addiction and depression. Goes on to say she resided in Florida, spent summers in Murphy, and then they moved. She's survived by her husband and her son. She's got two daughters and all about the family and everything. We're thankful for the life that issued forth because of June. We wish she could have appreciated the abundance of life she has given. Drugs were the major love of June's life, as June had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. Please let June's life be a cautionary tale. Addiction and hatred are no es bueno for living.
Oh my God.
We speak for the majority of the family when we say her presence will not be missed by many. Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting of her passing. Her family will remember June, and amongst ourselves, we will remember her in her own way, which were mostly sad and troubling times throughout the years. We may have had some fond memories of her, or perhaps we think, perhaps we will try to think of those times too. And it just goes on to basically say there'll be no service, no prayers, no closure for the family. She spent a lifetime tearing apart this family. We can't come together in the end to see that her grandchildren and great-grandchildren say her goodbyes. Her legacy is written. And so we'll just say goodbye.
Oh, wow.
Wow, savage. I mean, you know, sometimes Gran or Pops could be a little bit grumpy, but no one's going to write that, are they?
They're pull together a few nice words for... Yeah. You could disguise it, maybe in brevity is is key when describing a bitchy old nana.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Kath. She had her days.
she had some good days.
We'll be chucking her in a hole in the ground this Friday. Yeah, so she must have been a real bitch.
She must have been.
Nike is planning to sell their shoes on Instagram. Now, right now, you can obviously click on links. So if you see Nike's and it's like shop now, and then you can click on a link and it will take you to a website. Or lots of websites do shop on Instagram, so you can see all the Instagram posts and then buy from those.
It's bad. Does it get you Instagram all the time, or you don't really buy anything, Avon?
No.
I always get, like, it'll say there's a special, and then that little blue tab will come along and be like, shop now.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Really?
What, seeing something you like on Instagram and buying it?
I've never seen this blue tab.
There's a tab that comes along and says shop now.
I've seen the shop now one. Yeah. And you can click on it, and it'll take you to a site.
It takes you straight there.
But you don't buy anything, Vaughn. Your wife will know what we're talking about.
I've got no idea.
Well, Nike plans to make this available so that you can literally buy them straight off Instagram. So they'll put up a picture of, I don't know, a cool pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And they haven't said how they're going to use their technology. But imagine if it just had, if Instagram had all your details loaded, like your credit card saved.
And you just literally pressed buy and they were yours.
Yeah.
Could be potentially dangerous.
Because, you know, when you have to go to another site, it's a little bit more time for your brain and yourself to kind of be talked out of it.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a couple of $100s. And you go to another website and then you're like, do I check out? Like,
Shopping websites are missing a trick. Make it all on one page, because the more pages I have to click through, the more time I'm like, no.
Yeah, like it's easy to put something in a basket. I've done that. You put something in a basket and then you keep looking around. It's like, do you want to continue shopping? You're like, yeah, sure. And then you get to the basket and you're like, oh, I didn't really need that. And just shut it all down.
Yeah.
Well, the worst is, especially for us here in New Zealand, is when you click on, if it's overseas, on shipping, and you're just like, that's three times what I'm paying for this item.
No, but it's also ridiculous if you're paying a lot and then it's like $5 for postage. You're like, no, that's tipped me over.
Yeah, I've been pushed too far.
So, yeah, this is a new thing. I don't know quite how they're going to do it, but also be careful if you get a little bit drunk and then you see shoes you like on Instagram. You might just be able to buy them just with one click.
Especially if they can save your credit card.
A pair of shoes without trying them on.
You wouldn't.
I couldn't buy a pair of shoes without trying them on. Stung before.
If they were Nikes, I could, because if they're the same similar ones in what you've had, you just know that they fit.
Buy them all the time without trying them on. 39, size 8.
I've bought a pair of shoes online, but I went into a shop and I've done what every retailer
hates. Oh my God, Dad.
You go in and you try them on and you're like, I'll come back soon. And then you don't come back.
Can I just write down the code for these shoes?
Yeah. Oh, no, you just take a photo of the box or the shoe itself.
They know what you're doing.
Of course they do.
They know.
Yeah. It's the top 6.
Well, there was a game of Ruggers on Saturday night, guys. I was down in the pub watching it.
You actually watched the whole game?
Nah. We arrived for the second half.
Oh, right, okay.
We left it a bit late and then, like, there was no seats and couldn't get food, but I was really hungry. Because usually when the rugby happens, I'll watch the anthem and the haka and then have a bubble bath. That's my regime.
But you weren't home.
We were at the hot pools. So technically that's like a big shared bubble bath without the bubbles. For too long, I could see the time, but I didn't tell my wife the time, so I wanted to stay in the hot pools longer.
You sabotaged it.
And then, well, if she had not wanted to get ready, she could have gone straight and watched rugby, but she wanted to get ready. So then we were a little bit late, and then it was really packed, so we just got a burger and then went to the pub. We caught the second half. The last 15 minutes of the first half and then all of the second half. But as I said to you, the second half's the most important half, because at the end of that half, you've got a winner.
Or do you?
You didn't in this case. A draw with the Lions means that the series was a draw, which means after all this rigmarole, no winner.
What happens, James, producer James, you're sporty. What happens in soccer? Do they always have a tiebreaker?
They have a penalty shootout.
They have a penalty shootout.
Well, they go another, like, half an hour play.
Yeah, they go 15 minutes each way, right?
Yeah, and then after that, then they end up.
What about you play T-ball? What happens in T-ball?
I don't know about T-ball, but I actually play softball. But yeah, no, same thing. We go to like an extra innings and like the game's sorted.
Why don't we in rugby league
golden point?
Yeah. Why has rugby not sorted this out? Why haven't they sorted it out?
I thought they just because I know it was like 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the guy got pushed out.
Yeah.
And they were like, game over. I was like, well, no, just like let's say you wasted 5 minutes mucking about without stopping the clock. Let's
They do that.
Yeah, until there's... I reckon they should have just... Surely keep someone would have got a point sooner or later.
Yeah, right.
So today's top six is the top six ways to decide a rugby game if it's a draw.
Well, maybe they could take one of these on board.
Yeah, well, I think definitely. Number six, stadium vote. So it's like, who wants the All Blacks to win? Make some noise.
Normally, with a home game, that would work. But did you see
that? There was lots of Lions.
I could not believe downtown Auckland before that game.
And it was crazy.
Around the country would have seen how many Lions supporters were here.
Yeah.
And, unbelievable.
Great for tourism. Let's hope they spent some money when they were here. But a stadium vote, you know, give the Lions a shot. Who's going to be louder? It's like the old clapper meter and a needle goes up. And you have to take the sound thing right in the middle of the pitch. Number five, tug of war. Don't ride over tug of war too quickly. It used to be an Olympic sport.
Did it?
Tug of war was an Olympic sport till like the 1920s.
And now it's just like a beach fun day.
And now it's just, a fun way to pass some time at a Christian beach camp. But I reckon tug of war at the Olympics would be legit. Imagine like the big dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Belarusians or the Russians. Those huge
it's unfair.
Nations.
No, you got to see. The skinny countries get weights.
No, we'd send that Mitre 10 mega guy. Is he still around?
Yeah.
Big is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
We'd do all right.
Yeah.
We've got some big units in this country. Yeah. They do great at the old tug of war.
Yeah.
But then you say the skinny countries, but the skinny countries are good at the long distance running. Every country's got its strength, you know.
Yeah.
Number four on the list of the top six ways to decide a rugby game after a draw. Make them play a 5-day cricket test. And if that ends in a draw, then we just set everything on fire.
Right.
That's the thing. That's what rugby's always had over cricket. Is it doesn't end in a draw.
Right.
But granted, I only invested 80 minutes into this, not 5 days.
5 days,
thanks for nothing, cricket. Number three on the list, a 10-minute game of forceback. Do you used to play forceback?
Yes, I love
it.
It was where you were. Cool.
You're only allowed to boot it. And there was like, you played as many people as were around, really. And you played on a rugby field and you booted it.
Yeah.
And it was the first person to get it to the other end, the opposition's end. And if you caught it on the full, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong with forceback, if you caught it on the full,
you allowed some extra
steps. Someone
was
allowed to run and take five big steps and then you boot it from there.
I'm so confused.
Forceback was the game we played at school when you weren't allowed to get dirty.
Nah.
Oh, no, it's a great game.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to get dirty. So, because rugby would always end up, even if it started as touch, would end up as tackle.
Right.
And you get all mucky. So, you'd play forceback instead. Number two on the list of the top six ways to decide a rugby game after a draw, American Ninja Warrior course time trial.
Okay. Yeah.
Like some of those guys would be, you'd want to send out your
after
your
80 minutes, though, you'd be a bit knackered.
Yeah, but that's half of the challenge. And the number one way to decide a rugby game after a draw, a spelling bee. Did you see at the end when they gave Kieran Reid his hat?
Yeah.
And he was standing there with his hat on and they were like on a little stage. The stage is already set up. Send up your two best spellers. And they can face off in a spelling bee. That would be a legit way to decide it because a bit of, brains with a lot of brawn.
Half the Lions supporters couldn't spell Lions.
Loins. Hey, I'm here to support the Loins. That is today's top six. FBM, the podcast. FBM. School holidays start today. Today's the first official day. There's been a weekend, but you get those every week, so they should have just felt normal. School holidays start today. School holiday programs are sort of... I know they do them around the world, but like typically Kiwi ones, you get dropped off at the local school hall or whatever, and there's a couple of 18-year-olds who are on uni break or something and looking to make a couple of extra bucks. They've organised a day of running around the gym while they flirt with each other sort of in front of you, and you're like, what's going on there? And I don't know, I don't have those feelings yet. And then anyway, that's what happened to me. but some of the costs of them are being looked into, and parents are like, well... You know, it would actually make more financial sense for me to take the day off work and not get paid and look after my kids than pay some of these prices. Now, granted, some of the really expensive ones aren't your standard school holidays. This is sort of like targeted learning for kids who might be interested in stuff like robotics or programming or something.
Robotics for like a school holiday program.
So Unitech runs a science-focused program, 3D design, animation, and robotics. It's called Mind Lab, and it sounds pretty amazing because it's targeted. You know, if you've got a kid that's interested in that stuff, I doubt, even though high schools and schools are more focused on that sort of thing now, they probably can't go into the depth that Unitech can. So they are $150 for one day, but if you're going to do the five-day immersion learning, it's $570 for the week.
Jeez, okay.
So I have to go to school during my school holidays and it costs heaps of money.
Yeah, see, that's not a robotics
attitude.
A robotics attitude. Not at all.
That's not the
attitude of someone designing the next Mars rover. Is it?
No. So what would your normal school holiday program cost then?
I can't remember. I think the one I went to is about $20.
Yeah, but it's a different day, Vaughn. It's a different world now.
It's a wildly different. But even at the time, that was a lot of money. Like Mum said, that's enough money to sort of like, that was enough money at the time. That was how much money I was given to catch the bus to Hamilton, see a movie, get a feed of Macca's and then catch the bus home.
Yeah. Because you were basically left alone.
So that's, you could do that for $20 bucks back in the day. Why would you go to a school holiday?
So that's your high end kind of one.
Your high end. But the YMCA, Auckland mum Nicola's quoted in this, is saying for her two kids for 2 days at their holiday programs, $248.
For 2 days for two kids?
Yeah.
Because how much is a babysitter?
Well, that's the thing. If you if you've got an older sibling, you could just say to them, you're in charge.
For the school holidays.
For that money, here's bus money, zoo entry fee, do your thing, come home. Like, look after them.
Here's,
and here's
some
a bit
colouring
of money.
In, books, some here's crayons. Some,
yeah, I don't know.
Because how old are you allowed to be left at home?
Well, because I don't remember.
When I look back, I think we were definitely left alone, my brother and I.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm
going to
go.
I don't remember going to a school program. I'm pretty sure I would have been alone at 10.
We just got shipped off to our grandparents all the time. Because I lived on a farm, so my parents technically worked at home, but they had a bloody gutsful of us by like day two. So they just were like, you were splitting you up and you're going to different grandparents, but we were fortunate.
Yeah, we got shipped to grandparents a lot during the holidays.
I loved it. It was good. They let you do anything. They let you ride motorbikes.
Young children must never be left alone in a house or vehicle. They need constant supervision. It is illegal to leave a child under the age of 14.
What?
Without reasonable provision for their care.
I thought it was 11.
Without reasonable provision for their care.
Yeah,
so that means you could leave a 12-year-old as long as they had a lot of snacks and the doors were locked.
And webcam, maybe, so you could monitor them from work.
Like a grown-up, like a tween baby monitor.
Yes.
A tween monitor.
Exactly.
I was definitely left alone younger than that.
I don't know if
loaf
we were.
Loaf of bread and away
you
go.
Yeah, we were given a box of matches, like a canister of petrol. They said, just don't burn the house down.
Your parents wanted
that
you
kind
to
of thing.
Yeah, your parents
it
didn't
really
want
taught us independence.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the importance of fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
Located at multiple positions throughout the household.
But yeah, I don't even remember doing a holiday program. I think that even back then they would have been too expensive.
Well, my parents had to run us to town and then come and get us later on and pay the money. That just none of that shit. Go to your grandparents.
Go to the grandparents.
Okay, they'll even come and get you most of the time.
That's a good business venture. Start an affordable holiday program. Oh, but then I have to look after all those kids.
Yeah, and you're responsible for them. You have to be really inventive. Mm.
Like, you can't let any of them drown or stuff if you had a swimming day.
You have to, like, watch them all the time.
And there's rules of how many kids you could have to an adult. Like, there's a real glass ceiling on money can be made. Yeah, I know. It's quickly being
put just in. If you've got kids, can't you just drop them off at the swimming pool in the morning and then pick them up at the... I'm joking because people do that. They don't like it.
Anywhere they can be dropped off. Or
those little playground areas in the Westfield.
Or a chipmunks or anywhere with a closed sort of pool fence gate to get in and out. Get kids dropped off there all the time in the holidays.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
I was in hospital on Friday having surgery. Nothing major, just getting my screws removed from a bungy hip.
So is that what they term a keyhole surgery?
I don't. Well, no, because
so they just got a tiny one, right?
Oh, have you got a big cut?
Yeah.
Oh, have you got a big cut?
Yeah.
So they cut you open to take the screws out that they put in a year or so ago.
Yeah. So the hip's all healed up, but I wanted the screws gone because they caused.
How do you know your hip's all healed up? Ah, I suppose hips don't lie.
That's right. Oh. God.
When did you think of that? And were you just like, I'm going to crowbar this gag in?
No, I was like, I was like, well, it just happened.
But you could feel the screws in there.
Yeah, so as your bone heals, they can shift a wee bit and pop out a little bit. Yeah. So now they're out. And then yeah, the holes just get filled in with blood and then bone grows. So
isn't the human body amazing?
Yeah, amazing, eh?
It regenerates.
Oh, it is. It really is.
But they did ask me.
And to think a guy just created it in a day is the most mind-blowing part
Stop
of it.
Stop it.
So they
Not
asked
that it took
me,
billions of years of purposeful evolution.
Stop. When I went in if I'd like the screws afterwards. And I said yes, because I just wanted to see what they look like. But they said I have to have them sealed in a container. You have to sign all these forms because it will have parts of, like, me on it. Like, you know, parts of your body.
DNA.
I was thinking you'd get it back and it would be all, like, little squidgy bits on it. But it's not. It's microscopic.
Yeah, yeah. I had a pin in my ankle when I broke it when I was a kid. And I remember the same thing. It was, they were like, keep it in a jar. Yeah. I was like, I promise. Got it home. Lit off. In my mouth. Playing with it. I was just playing with it, watching telly, and then I was like, oh God, my mouth.
So these look about 10 to 12 centimetres long. Like, they're big screws.
There's three of them, yeah.
These look like hardware screws you'd get from, like, Bunnings or Mitre 10.
And that's the thing. When I said, yes, I want them back, I just kind of wanted to see. I didn't have any intention for them. And the doctor came in and said, oh yeah, here you go. Here's your screws. Maybe you can make something with this. Because he said lots of people ask for them back to make, like, shelves or mementos out
shelves.
Of the screws that, yeah.
They well, use like, the you then use the screw to make a shelf.
Or a box or some kind of weird memento. Because you're like, well, those screws were in my leg.
Or
and now
a bone wind chime.
Definitely make a wind chime.
The sound of clutting thud of bone on bone in a gentle westerly breeze.
Keeping you awake at night.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any
You could say there's three of them.
Yeah.
Because immediately I thought when there was three of them, you could get two earrings and a matching pendant.
Gross.
No, they're not you could. Attractive like, there's screws.
Jewellery people could do it.
But no, they're why ugly. Would you want they're ugly?
They're big old screws.
They're ugly in their current form, but you're not using your imagination.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To imagine that even if you file them down or change them slightly, you could have two earrings.
Well, you could glue some feathers onto them.
Like a dream catcher.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
But
the doctor seemed convinced that lots of people do that. Lots of people ask for their bits and bobs back and then they make things.
Because would they give you a bit of bone or something that they took out?
Yeah.
Because I know that you can get your teeth back from the dentist.
What do you do with those?
I don't know.
Has anyone ever rocked a bit of jaw? Remember that? There was a community notice a while ago in community notices and someone said they had their wisdom teeth removed and set into a ring. So it was like a ring with the tooth at the top. And they, but times were tough, so they needed to sell it. And they weren't getting a lot of, like, action on the auction front.
I think we need to open up the phone lines this morning and ask if you've ever had an operation and kept something from it.
Yeah.
And even points if you made something out of it. Like, you got a bit arts and crafty
with
it.
It's school holidays, Megan. So Toy Boy will have some time on his hands.
To do
you can get him some arts and crafts.
You made her laugh and her hip hurt.
Don't make me laugh too hard.
Oh, God. Take some of those pills over there. Not only will it stop hurting, but I might be funnier.
That's probably the case.
A couple of those painkillers.
All right, so 0800-DALS-NM-9696. What did you have, keep after an operation?
Yeah, you kept it. Maybe you made something out of it. We're talking about what Megan can do with her screws that she had removed in an operation on Friday and just generally what you've had removed in an operation that you've kept and maybe done something with.
Because they ask you as an option, you can like sign all these pieces of paper and you can get, anything they take out of you or off you, you get it back.
What would they do with those screws from you otherwise?
They just throw them out.
Recycle them, like melt them down and...
Would they ever give you, say, I don't know why, but say you had to have a leg or an arm amputated, would they ever give you that? Or is that too far? Is that a hazard?
It's yours, though.
Yeah.
I know it is, but...
But it's a biohazard. Like, you can't dispose of that properly. Surely they wouldn't give you that.
Oh, if your leg got cut off because it was radioactive, maybe that would be a problem. But if it's just your leg, it's your leg, isn't it?
But what did you keep after an operation? Karen...
Hi.
You had an artificial hip.
Oh, my friend has a hip. I had gallstones. So what? I took my gallstones.
What?
What did you do with them?
They're still in a little container with a lid on with the fluid that they gave it to me in to keep them whole.
Why do you want them?
I was just curious to see what they looked like.
Oh. And then what? And then if you're sick of them, like, how do you even get rid of them? Can you chuck them in, like, the recycling bin won't take them?
I think you can because they're calcium buildups. Yeah. But my friend, a friend of mine had his artificial hip replaced.
Yeah.
With a new one, and he actually turned his own wedding ring on a lathe out of it because it was titanium.
So his old hip replacement made into a wedding ring?
Yeah, for himself. Yep, when he got married.
That's pretty cool, because otherwise what are you going to do with, like, a lot of titanium?
Exactly.
I'd take it for, remember, cash for cans?
Yeah, scrappy.
Take it down to the recycling centre.
When you take metal to a scrap dealer, because obviously people steal stuff and take it, you've got to, like, take your driver's licence and tell them where you got it from and everything like that. So that'd be a good story for them.
Be like, I got this from a person, I got me their
hip. I killed someone in this, so and this put a magnet over them and this really set it off.
Hey, thanks, Kieran. Jono, your granddad, what did he make after an operation?
He had a hip operation. And he had the ball joint from his leg, and he made it to the, like, top of a walking stick.
Oh,
like the handle.
Like the handle.
Walking stick. Yeah.
So was that his actual, like, bone?
Yeah, it was his actual bone, and he like went and got it properly, took it to a taxidermist and got it all cleaned and sanitized and stuff, and they were like, yeah, you can pretty much do what you want with it, and he put it on the top of his cane and used it for like 15 years.
That's pretty legit.
Oh my God.
And if you needed to crack somebody on the head with it, very hard.
Very, yeah.
Sure, teach them a lesson.
Wow, okay. Thanks, Jono.
Megan, quite a few people were saying three screws says to them, key holder. You could put get a bit of nice bit of wood and put three screws in, and then you can hang your keys on.
Recycled Remu.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah,
lovely. A bit of old rescued Coldy, perhaps.
Here's an idea: make it the shape of a key, a giant key.
Yes. Okay.
And then put the three hooks on it. It's like a key ring.
Yes. It really spells out what it's for. Yeah. In case someone was to try to hang their tiny coat on the key.
Yeah. It's not for coats, it's for keys.
Somebody else said you can definitely keep your body parts after operations. My dispatcher has his leg in the freezer. Keeping that till he decides what he wants to do with it.
What would you do with that?
Somebody else said, my wife works in burns. That's the area of the hospital she works in, with the deals with the burns. There's a fridge full of body parts that people said they wanted but never came back and got. Fingers, all sorts of things. So you can definitely take that all home.
You wouldn't want to be there after a power cut.
Oh,
when that starts defrosting.
Don't open the fridge! Leave it shut till the power comes back on.
Yeah.
All sorts of things in there. Somebody else said, I work in the plastics ward at the hospital. We have a skin fridge on our ward.
Grim.
We have a collection of fingers, ears, teeth, veins, and skin grafts.
Great for Halloween.
Yeah, oh, great. Great. For when the kids, when you're short of arts.
Yeah.
Arts and craft supplies at home for the kids. She said, my wife had her breast removed. They asked her if she wanted to keep it. So apparently in some cultures, you keep anything that you have removed, like when their breast was removed and all the tissue, and then they bury it with you when you die.
Oh,
that's a cultural
thing. But then
thing.
What do you do with it in the meantime? Because the
freezer.
Put it next to the ice cream.
Yeah. I'd always put it under the ice cream so I didn't have to touch it every time I wanted some sweet French vanilla. And somebody else had three ops. They broke their pelvis, 14 screws, three plates held me together. Now they hold my car together as I built them into my project car.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
FEM.
This is happening in Auckland, but could be rolling out to other cities around the country if it works well.
Right.
For Auckland. Areas sort of like the neighbourhoods closest to the central city are putting an end to all-day free parking. Now, there's a few spots in Auckland where this has already happened. Freeman's Bay, I remember this happening because all the people who own houses worth multiple millions of the dollars were like, but I find it inconvenient. My Range Rover can't fit up my driveway.
So people going to work park in these areas.
Who drive from outer suburbs.
Yep.
Drive to the areas closest to town, park on the side of the road for free, and then walk the last remaining bit to work.
But what's wrong with that? Because parking's expensive in town.
Exactly. it clogs up the streets, so it's just a local sign that, you know, if you park there, they can't park there, and it clogs up the streets and la-di-da-di-da.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You've got a multi-million dollar house in the middle of Auckland.
It's like the location. parking space, parking space, parking space. It all comes into play. So in 2012, St Mary's Bay and Freeman's Bay put a stop to it. Residential parking zones are what they were called.
Right.
And if you live there, you got a little badge for your car to say, I am allowed to park here because I live here.
Right.
Apparently people were arriving at 6 in the morning and having breakfast in their cars. Chilling out, watching some stuff, listening to some things, and then put on their comfortable sketches and walk to work before putting back on their high heels or sensible work shoes.
And then they'd walk home and they wouldn't have to pay exorbitant central city parking.
Exactly.
Oh, that's just, so what are they going to do now? They're going to... is it just going to push people out further?
Yeah, well, the idea is to make them either stop or take public transport.
Right.
But they're rolling it out into different areas. Grafton and Parnell are looking at getting it now. Now, there's other central Auckland suburbs where people own very expensive houses. And then they say it's going to be a flow-on effect to the next neighbourhood and the next neighbourhood.
It's not our fault that these people that bought these fancy houses don't have driveways. A lot of them don't have, like, garages and they park on the street. Silly you for paying that much.
They have to spend heaps of money to have their house lifted up so they can park underneath.
Oh,
I know.
That's
a 1%er problem. There's no parking. I can't afford to have my house lifted. I guess I will. As long as people don't park on the road outside my house with cars that aren't European and such. Yeah. So you can apply for a permit, $70 a year, which is still cheaper than a Wilson's car park 5 days of the week for the entire year.
Yeah.
Or 1 day coupons for $5 apparently.
Right.
So I don't know if you've...
Oh, so you could still park near... But then would you have to be living on that street to get a permit on that street?
Well, no, that's what I was thinking, that if you lived on that street, you could probably make a nice little side profit by letting people use your postal address to buy these $70
good thinking.
Coupons. Get them sent and then, or maybe even say, oh, I own 3 cars, so I want them for each car. And then you sell the $70 ones because it might need to be attached to the rates. For example.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then you sell them for $150.
Look at old Vaughn Smith finding a cheeky loophole.
Then you're a douchebag with a big flash house and a side profit on them.
Yeah, but you're making $70 on each, $210. That's not going to cover your rates or anything. Like, that's pocket money, really, for people who own houses in Herne Bay. Yeah. They probably actually couldn't be bothered with the administration.
Yeah.
Their time is money, and it's worth more than $210. But anyway, I'd do it for five. A little bit of pocket money.
Well, I guess you'll end up with people parking out near you and West Auckland and walking to work.
They'll only do that once or twice before their cars get broken into.
And they'd be very fit. That's like a 15K walk. Yeah.
You're listening to the Fleetch, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at My Republic.
Yeah, One Republic, with hit songs such as Apologise.
It's My Republic.
Yeah,
that's One Republic.
That's One Republic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, My Republic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to My Republic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal. A
couple of new dating apps have come to our attention and we cross now to our dating app expert, Caitlin. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not an expert because it's obviously not worked very well for me.
You're an expert. You sample them all. You've extensively used every one of them.
You've just been in Sydney for the weekend. Were there any Australian honeys that we need to know about?
Because I heard Tinder got re-downloaded for
I did. Because I was going to try and go on a date over there. Because why not? No one would know. I wouldn't even have to tell my mum, you know. So,
you don't have to tell your mum.
I know, but she just finds out everything.
Is it because you can't keep a secret?
Yeah, but also it's mum intuition. Is that the word?
Mum tuition, yeah.
Were you going to do that double date thing?
Yeah.
That you can do on Tinder
with
your friend.
Tamara and I signed up and did a team thing. And then we were like, but she's a little bit older than me, so it was a bit like...
But you like older men.
I do like older men, yeah.
So did it happen? Did you?
Well, I forgot to turn the notifications on my Tinder, so I was getting all these messages and I was like, why is no one messaging me? But I had to go into the app. Yeah, so...
So no Australian honeys.
There were a few honeys, but none that I actually
got
to hang out with. So yeah, good times.
Right. Well, we're not here to talk about Tinder. We're here to talk about two recently new dating apps. In fact, one of these is the number one free app in the App Store at the moment.
I don't even know what prompted me to go, it was because I had a whole lot of apps that needed updating.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went to get my updates. Then I clicked on the charts thing because I just like having a look. for free games. I've actually downloaded the game that I'm going to play. Okay. And yeah. I saw the top free app was Melon. And I was like, what's Melon? And I clicked on that. And it's a dating app. Now, you've downloaded Melon. Mm. So what can you tell us about Melon?
I opened it before and then it just goes straight to, so you press this little like...
button.
Yeah, so now I'm live. Look, I'm live. I'm live with someone. Oh my God. Oh my God. He's dead. Stop. No.
So, what do you mean you're live with someone? He's hung up. He hung up.
Oh God. I just saw his face.
It's like chat roulette.
But he was like in Africa or something.
So it is.
Well,
it's like
no good.
It's like chat roulette.
This Can is Bevan.
Where's Bevan?
Hamilton.
Bevan's in Hamilton.
Oh, he hung up on me.
Oh. Oh. Tell him to listen.
Me.
We could just.
We agree.
Was it a penis?
Was it a penis?
Guys! Males! Men everywhere! Do we have to put our penis on everything? Come on, guys!
I love Megan.
That was literally the third thing we came across was a penis!
I love Megan's face. She was looking at it like, is this? Oh, it is. It is.
That's what I think it is.
Why do we put our penis on?
Oh, this guy's in the USA.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hi.
What's the time? 7:40.
Can they hear me?
It's too early for that.
Hi, you waved.
Hi. This is quite a chat roulette. Oh, no, there's a...
Where did he get his penis out too?
This is so exciting. Goodness.
All right, now I can see why this is the number one app in the app store for free.
So, wait a minute. Did you have to link that to anything? Your Facebook?
My Facebook.
So, that guy who had his penis out, like you could... his Facebook's linked to it.
Oh wait, can they find me now?
What did he hope was going to happen?
What does anyone who leads with their penis hope going to happen?
Well, I was really hopeful, Kaylin, this could be a new app for you to find love.
It's just chat roulette, but it's a dating app. But
so, I mean, this is fun.
So it's obviously it's worldwide, but it's also New Zealand.
You must be able to change your geo filters so you can go closer. What are you doing?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. What about you? Whereabouts are you?
What country in the world?
What? He's confused because he's... Hi, where are you?
Ask him what country.
Which country are you from?
Where are you from?
I'm from New Zealand.
England, okay. No.
You tried. New Zealand.
Bye.
That was so much fun. But then what's the point of using this app if you're going to meet someone who's in England or America?
Well, I was in Auckland. Oh, I accidentally hung up on him.
Oh, Caitlin. Oh,
that could have been the one.
I don't know how to use this.
Megan's still flustered from the penis 5 minutes ago. Too much.
See it.
What was the user feedback like on that, Megan?
On the...
Hello. Don't panic and do that.
I'm panicking. I know.
But you don't panic, then you wave and you throw the phone in. That's no good for anybody's self-esteem. So you just go skip through
this. I don't know how you skip.
All right, the other... what about the other one? Did you download the other dating app
I told you about?
Yes, I did. Okay, tell us about the other one.
Okay, so this one's called Hater. And you basically go through and you can decide, like, so it will say, like, pooping at someone else's house. Do you think it's okay? It's not okay. So then you can find like people which are neutral.
Yeah, you bond over things you mutually hate, like Trump, slow walkers. Paying for guacamole.
So working late.
Oh, yeah. Paying extra for guacamole.
Always try that on.
I know.
Everywhere.
Well, that's what this is. And you go through all these criteria.
Yeah.
And you pick all these things that you hate. And then you only match with people who hate the same things you hate.
Because I reckon the list of things you hate, you'd find easier to write than the list of things you like.
People.
Especially if it's just giving you heaps of options.
Yeah, okay. But then is it negative from the outset? That are you going to be...
But then a positive comes from the negativity because you're bonding over your mutual hate for something.
Okay. And so did you sign up to that one, Caitlin?
Yeah. So I've been through and I'm just going, hate that, hate chess. I like mechanical bull rides.
Okay. Oh, I don't know.
The concept of marriage. Oh, well, I like that,
like
so that, I should so probably.
Yeah.
Nickelback.
Hate.
No.
This sounds like this sounds more fun to join up like than the other dating quiz. Apps.
So yeah. I've got an 87% match with he's 19. This is wrong because that's not a good match.
No, but he hates all the things you hate.
I know, but he's 19. Fletch.
Hate can conquer all.
He's 19. He's 4 miles away. That's really close, isn't it?
Age is just a number. Hate conquers all.
Yeah, but it's really hard to find someone that hates Nickelback and loves Mechanical Bulls. So don't be hasty in throwing out that love, Caitlin.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I know.
Are you still selecting things you love or you hate? What else? You tell us what it's asking
you. Hate stoners. That's good. I don't like stoners either.
I don't hate them, though.
He's only 20. Why are these people so young?
Fairly harmless.
I'm sure there's some settings you could adjust there, Caitlin.
Okay, guys, I've got to go because I'm going to talk to Bart. Oh, we're 72% match. Look at him.
Bart?
Oh,
yeah.
Is he wearing a red t-shirt and blue shorts and he's on skateboarding?
You can
now
lead a horse to water or what's the saying?
You can, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
Or swim or one of those things.
I mean, we've given you the apps, but.
You.
Good luck.
Go away there.
I need some alone
time. 5 dating apps on her phone now. Happen, Bumble, Tinder, Hater, and the other one.
Melon.
That's the guy with the dick out. Yeah.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan's Community Notices.
Hello and welcome to Community Notices, a segment of the show where we have a look at what's happening around New Zealand. And in this episode, the world, according to local Facebook pages. The reason I say the world is we're going to go to Banff. First of all.
In Canada.
Yes, that's correct pronunciation, of course. Spelled with a K. This is from a travelling Kiwi, and many Kiwis have called Banff home over the years because of the amazing ski fields and everything.
Yeah.
They chase the winter. But there for summer, of course, lots of lakes in the region,
yep.
And lake life becomes quite massive. Alicia writes on the Banff buy and sell page, I lost my phone yesterday at Johnson's Lake. Whoever has it has changed my Facebook profile picture to a picture of their balls. hilarious, yes, but now it's time to return it, please, as I changed it back and you put up another photo of your balls.
Does the Facebook algorithm, because, you know, you could put up a nude photo, it just kind of auto-detects it.
Does it?
A lot of nudity is auto-detected and flagged by Facebook.
That's good.
But so if it's super close on...
What does that say about your balls if they're not being auto-detected?
Oh, it's just...
Too shiny, maybe.
The balls poking out of the pants.
Oh, right.
It's not like a fully nude person.
It looks like a little bit like a baby bird or something.
Alicia goes on to say, if you think you can identify this person by their balls, please click on my profile picture and let me know who they are or tell them to return my phone, please.
That's pretty funny.
Seems like the person that would do that would look to return the phone, right? They're having a bit of a...
Yeah, I think so.
A bit of a laugh. Just got to stop community notices. Why have you arranged your Mandarin segments in some sort of Stonehenge-type circle?
I just do it.
Is there a camera on that? That's weird. What'd you do that for?
Well, no way.
A circlet if you're a Mandarin.
Because I'm going to eat my Mandarin after we finish, and then I'll just pick the segments up and eat them.
Do you eat it? Will you eat it in a circular, or will you go one from that side, one from that side?
No, just randomly.
Randomly.
That's real cute.
We're doing a radio show. Don't worry about the camera angles.
It's so funny. Trying to get out of the way. That's weird.
Have you got a shot?
Okay, do we get a shot? All right, next. Now, this comes from Neighbourly. This is an app. It's kind of like a community notices app.
Okay.
You just post on Neighbourly and it's geo for what's around you at that moment, things for sale, etc. This is a service being offered in Nelson South by Dan. Jewellery detanglement service offered.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Or an iPhone headphone detanglement.
I had to spend a good 5 minutes untangling iPhone headphones in the week. And those things are crazy.
Mm.
How does it do it? How does it get in such a complicated knot just jangling around in your pocket? Dan's offering this service. As many of us know, there exists a problem with small chains and jewellery becoming so tangled together or with themselves that they seem impossible to untangle. Well, worry not. And then he's got his number and everything to contact you there. But that's what a great idea for a service.
So good. Little chains get stuck together.
There's nothing funny about this. It's a great service.
And I'd never thought about it. Because, tiny chains are the worst that they get a knot in them. It's so hard to
What are you paying someone to do that? $5? Not even worth your petrol money going over to drop it off, is it?
He doesn't list prices. They can negotiable prices. They're negotiable based on a particular task.
Okay.
Like, has he got all the time in the world to just sit there untangling?
He must love a detanglement. Right. He must love an untangling. This one comes from the Papamoa link page. Holly writes on there, "Hello all. I was wondering if anyone in the area had any cat ornaments, posters or pictures. Anything cats that I could have. Cheap or free, please. I love cats."
That's pretty
Someone
cute.
Actually sent that in saying this is not only a community notice, but possibly, you know, a soulmate for Fletch.
Aww.
Because you get back to their place and there's cat ornaments everywhere.
Yeah, I don't have any room in my apartment for cat ornaments. It's cat all ornaments. Done very nicely.
Well, that's why they kept it in
I don't
their,
want
they,
it being messed up.
They keep the cat ornaments at their house so you can just go.
Right, okay.
And visit. Another one. This comes from the East Auckland Grapevine. Now, this place can really flare up, get out of control.
Yeah.
This is posted. Thanks for all the messages regarding my last post. It turns out the neighbour who wrote the letter didn't understand what he was actually saying. He didn't understand the meaning of the word poison and he was not intending to kill the cats.
Okay, it sounds...
I'll read you the picture of the note that this refers to. Cat poison will be laid around... And they named the street the cat poison is going to be laid. So not only that doesn't indicate just his property, this indicates the street. Cat poison will be laid around the street from tomorrow and every week until the stray cats have been brought under control. Please ensure your cats don't stray from your property. Well, that note causes an uproar because people are like, well, you know, you can't control a cat. It goes through a wanderer and I don't want it to come back and die. So now he's claiming that it wasn't poison. He was spreading black pepper on his lawn to keep cats away.
Oh, sure.
You don't say poison, do you?
No.
And finally, and in the third in a row, cat post for community notices from the Upper Clutha Trading Post.
Okay.
Ra wants to let you all know that there's a lost cat. Just moved into the area with our beautiful kitty called Tallulah. Then lists the address. She's gone missing. She's quite nervous. I will respond to her name, but also to the name Titties, if said nicely.
What?
Please message me below if you've seen her or have had a cat. Respond with interest to Titties when said nicely.
Titties.
How do you say, give us your nicest
titties.
That wasn't
nice enough.
Titties.
Fletch, give us your nicest titties.
Titties.
Megan, give us your nicest titties.
Titties.
That's a nice titties.
That's
nice titties. Any nice titties in the producer's booth? Do you want to give us your nice titties, Caitlin?
Me? Oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, go for it.
What did you say?
You got the cat responds to titties, but only when said nicely. So give us your nicest titties.
Titties.
That's going to be
James.
James, give us
your... You've got
to
say...
Give us your nicest titties, James.
Okay. Titties.
Nice titties. It's an all-inclusive show. Intern Anya, give us your nicest titties.
Titties.
Oh, no. That was
no.
Oh, James is dead. That was creepy.
A lot of creep in there.
Titties.
A lot of creep.
Titties. Titty puss puss puss. Titties.
Okay.
Titties puss.
Those are today's community notices.
If you see something on your local Facebook page, screen cap and send it to ours.
FVM, the podcast.
The rugby, the third rugby game is on at the weekend of the Lions tour. Well, it was like that. Feels like the 18th, but it was the third against the All Blacks, right? This is the decider that ended in a draw. And I tell you, that referee won't be welcome around these parts, guys, will
he? Trying to get some banter.
Are you trying to do some rugby banter?
I'm big on sports. The only time, because this is the weird thing about it is, we were away, so my wife said, I really want to watch this. So we went down to like the pub to watch an All Blacks game, and that was like really packed.
Was it hard for you because you don't like watching it?
I don't mind watching it, and it's nothing against the people. Whenever we've met All Blacks, they love people. Somebody asked me if I don't like the All Blacks, and I said, oh no, I've got nothing against them. They're lovely people. Artie Savier and TJ Pettinato, who were in on Friday, lovely men. I just don't particularly, I'm a league man more than a rugby man, but even I've gone off that lately, I don't know.
You're well known for having a bubble bath when the All Blacks.
I will, I love the haka and I love the national anthem. Right. It's a good swell of the Kiwi pride and there. And then I'll just take myself off and have a bubble bath.
That's because your wife's busy. You've got time.
Yeah. She's got the television, so I can't watch something on there.
Yeah.
So I actually cut a bit of wood. And cut a slit into it that'll hold a wine glass. And so I can have a glass of wine while I'm in my bubble bath. Your candle on the other side and the iPad in the middle so I can watch something on Netflix.
Did you see that on Pinterest or Instagram? And is your one like real budget?
Oh, my one's real huckery. A bit of what I found on the side of the road. It's, and it got wet from the first time, and I put it in the hot water cupboard to dry it, and it warped. So it's all like out of kilter now.
You're a mess.
It's just a little homemade. So that's what I do. But it was weird being in a pub, lots of people around, and
so you couldn't go for your bubble bath.
No, it almost felt weird being out while the rugby was on and not having the option of just having a bubble bath. So I did the next best thing.
Yeah,
I had a creme brulee.
You were in a pub watching the rugby.
Yeah. It got to half time and a couple of people left and I said, can we sit there? And they were like, yeah. And I said, oh, don't worry, we'll order something, because it was like the sit down part of it.
Right.
And so I looked at the dessert menu and I was like, oh, I can't say no to a creme brulee. I was very full, but the creme brulee was the least sweet looking thing, which sounds madness from a creme brulee. I'm a huge creme brulee fan. So I had a creme brulee. The old mates sitting next to us really didn't know what to make of it.
Me
and my wife just being fascinated by the rugby, but me just being,
tapping the top to see if it was just crispy enough.
It was perfect.
Was it?
It was a perfect top to a creme brulee, and I ate the creme brulee. And then I had an espresso martini. It was delightful. I did. I love an espresso martini, and I love a creme brulee.
But there's a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions.
I didn't get to have my bubble bath, which is my usual All Blacks.
I know.
My thing.
Yeah.
So I want to know if anybody listening has something they always do when their partner's enjoying their hobby. I knew someone who played a lot of video games and his wife would knit.
Just knit. What are they, 80?
Not just, and she just started doing it because...
Was she a hipster knitter?
Hipster knitter.
Ah, right, okay.
And so when he was video gaming, she would knit. She'd get a lot knitted. And
right.
It was weird. She said she found it so frustrating before she had something else to do at the time, but then she got into knitting and she started enjoying it, so she could sit there and he could play video games and it wouldn't worry her.
Does he get like hipster sweaters out of it, a big like cable knit out of it?
Oh, he's never cold when he's playing PlayStation. We'll put it that way. He's got scarves, all sorts of things.
What about Toy Boy Megan when he's doing something to you?
When he's making cakes. I watch Kardashians because he can't stand the Kardashians. I'm not even usually allowed it on when he's in the house because it frustrates him so much.
I'm with Andy P on that one. I don't like watching the Kardashians. That's when I catch up on some other stuff to watch. So, I could go a bubble bath actually when the Kardashians are happening. Because we cancelled Sky Sports, so we have to watch delayed All Blacks on Prime usually.
Okay.
So it's a very late bubble bath. I should actually... say, have a match, warm up with some Kardashians. I'll be in the bubble bath for an extra long time. Call me during the haka. I know intern Anya, have you got one of these?
Yes. I am partial to a little wicked lunch while Andy's at football. Like, I'll go home, put on my essential oils diffuser, get my Netflix going, and then have some chicken, and it is the best.
So, you're talking KFC chicken.
Yeah.
Wicked wings.
Yeah.
So when your partner Andy is playing sports.
Doing exercise.
Yeah, good on him. Absolute champ.
You have KFC.
For the team.
But what, because he doesn't like it?
Yeah, he doesn't like, he's not a really KFC fan, and he's not great at like relaxing, sitting down, you know, just like junk food, just uninterrupted junk food time.
Right, he's not big on that.
So that's what you do when he's playing sports.
So you enjoy that
once a week, just have a little me time.
Do you tell him that you've done that?
No! I like stealthily put it in the bin under the stuff.
Do you put on the essential oils diffuser to mask the smell of KFC?
You're good.
I see through this. It's like when stoners think we can't smell the weed because they load an incense stick. Well, those two scents go hand in hand, my friend.
All right,
let's
take some calls. 0800-DANCE-NM-9696. What do you do when your partner does something else? Like maybe they've got their hobby, their little thing they do. What do you do? And maybe it's your time. In fact, maybe you encourage them to do their things.
Yeah.
Just that's so that you can get your thing out of the way while they're not around.
We're talking about what you've developed. Maybe you developed a little bit of a hobby because you were looking to burn some time while your partner was otherwise engaged.
It's like a subsequent hobby.
Yeah.
While they're doing their hobby.
Through their actions involving in a hobby, you have in your own way developed a hobby.
Mm.
Some text messages in on this. My dad loves a bit of golf. And he's always out playing. My mum has taken a hobby up while dad's at golf.
Yep.
It's called having a wine and complaining how dad always plays golf.
Well, that's the thing. You can either
good hobby.
You can either go and play golf as well, or you can do something yourself.
But then sometimes a partner develops a hobby because they like the time by themselves, right? Like golf, for example, is a few hours of walking around and not...
having a nagging what?
Hey!
I didn't say it. Your words. Somebody said, my partner was always at rugby training. I said, what am I supposed to do while you're at rugby training? And he said, why don't you take up some sort of fitness as well? This guy's obviously an amateur.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of concussions in a scrum, I think, because you don't say that. So I took up CrossFit.
Oh, okay.
He got more than he bargained for there, didn't he? Because now my CrossFit takes up time outside of his rugby training. Because you know what CrossFit, like, they get in his...
They
get crazy.
All consuming.
The family and the dieting and everything, it becomes so all involved. Now he has to find hobbies to fill the time while I'm at my hobby.
But then everyone's fat, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, win-win.
Yeah.
Hot. But then she's been doing...
protein farts. Bloody, so, hey, there'd be some protein farts in that house.
She's been doing rope pulls and box jumps and stuff. Everybody's probably a bit too tired for the hanky-panky later on.
Natalia.
Hi.
Did you develop a hobby because of your boyfriend?
Yeah. No, my partner spends hours and hours on his car in the garage.
Okay.
So, as per usual, he's out there and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start baking. So I bake my little cakes and the smell wafts out into the garage and every, like, half an hour or so I get a, is it ready?
Is it ready?
You're like, Shaky. You took up a hobby to lure him back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, like, sneaky, but, you know, he has to have a break every now and then.
Nice. Okay, and you get delicious baking out of it as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a baking ban at the moment because we're kind of getting a bit chubby over it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with delicious baking, eh?
I know. Delicious. It's too delicious.
Yeah, all right. Hey, thanks, Natalia. Rowan, have you developed a little hobby because of your partner?
Yeah, for sure. When I was, like, a teenager, I did a lot of gaming, PC gaming, like first-person shooters, Counter-Strike and stuff.
Okay.
And I actually stopped it all when I got married at, like, 22. So for, like, 3 years, I didn't play anything.
Yeah.
I'm a musician and stuff, so I had stuff to do, but I missed it sorely. And then she took up knitting and became a total fiend. Like, we'd be hanging out, you know, at night after work. And she'd just be, like, half there, and then she'd just be counting to herself when I'd be talking to her, and she'd just be zoned out, playing the man role, you know, like, not listening. I got back into gaming, man, and it's perfect. Like, you know, like, our relationship's better than ever. Like, we hang out and have quality time, and it's mean, but then at the same time, like, 2 hours a night, like, we just cruise and do our own thing, and it's just awesome, and there's no hard feelings.
What's she knitting? Like, I can understand gaming, you can always play another game over and over, but what about, what's she knitting? Is she always just...
She knits a whole bunch of stuff. Like, we got a two-year-old, like, knits clothes for him and socks for herself, and, she's a full-on creative. Like, she's got an Instagram profile with heaps of stuff on it, but, yeah, it's cool, man.
And you get to do gaming. It's a heavy
bit. Yeah, man, hard out. I'm just riding to Counter-Strike at the moment, eh? Winning at life.
Man.
All right, thanks,
Nailed
Ron.
It.
Good man. Somebody said, I have the most time-consuming hobby of all time, if you ask my partner, horse riding. And he got back into gaming to balance out what something to do while I was out horse riding. And I know if he goes for a night out, I go to bed early and I think, oh, I'll wake up early tomorrow and I'll have a good half day of horse riding with no interruptions. Which I love. Because that's a great use of time. Somebody else said, my husband would go fishing and I'd go on spa dates with our four-year-old. We'd go get our nails
that's
done,
so
have a coffee,
cute.
Have a cute day out. And then one weekend, he was like, oh, I'm not going to go fishing. I'm not really feeling it. So we bullied him into going fishing just so we could go on a date without him coming with us. And somebody else said, it's always nice to send the partner out on a boys' night just so I can watch chick flicks, trash television and eat ice cream with absolutely no judgment.
But that's the opposite. Normally it's like, no, you're not going out for another boys' night.
No, this business
that they want it.
Because have you ever watched the Kardashians with Toy Boy there?
It's the worst.
Yeah, that my wife hates it too because I'm like, that's rubbish. That's set
and
up.
And he repeats. It's like, oh, listen to them talk. Oh, like, and like
that. And
I'm
the worst.
Points,
I can
Megan.
I'd be like, this is all set up because there's no way the camera angles and everything. You know, they've done three takes of this and blah, blah, blah.
I
want
to watch it in ignorant bliss. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I know. It's a good... turn off your brain and let it happen situation.
Yeah, it is.
Many people are developing habits.
Fact of the day.
Today's fact of the day is about the Adelie penguin.
Okay.
This is, one of the many different types of penguins around the world.
What does the Adelie look like?
I've got a little picture here for you. Yeah, pretty standard, bog standard looking bluebird penguin to me.
Real cute.
Big white.
Ooh,
belly.
That one's got an egg coming out. Or is you it mean, sitting,
no, it's sitting on? No, sitting on the egg. Right. Its egg sits on its feet.
What's like that panda? Do you see the panda last week giving birth and it just pops out? I can't get that out of my head. That was harrowing.
Fires it into the air.
Shoots it and then it goes. It's like, it'd be different if there was a catcher.
It just goes on the floor.
The dad's the catcher.
Yeah, the dad panda should be the catcher.
Not as bad as a giraffe because they just literally drop out from a height of a meter. That's a hard first day.
Boof.
A bundle of sticks.
And hit the floor.
Cute penguin. It's very much like the bluebird penguin. If they must be modelled on this.
I would say it's modelled on. Well, they're not so cute. They're actually a-holes. The Adelie penguin. They'll all, before they enter the water, they'll all line up along the cliff's edge.
Yeah.
And between them, pick one penguin to shove off the cliff to see if they make it safely.
You're kidding
me. So they'll
be
on a cliff and they'll be like, I don't know if anyone's going to like, A, there might be predators in the water.
Yeah.
So he might jump in and then just get absolutely younger.
Eaten.
We might all just jump in and just, it just might be a feeding frenzy for some sharks or killer whales or whatever. And I don't know if we're actually over the water or like if we're going to fall onto the rocks. What do you reckon, Steve? Too late, Steve. Push. And Steve's like, and Steve, Steve dies on the rocks. And everyone's like, we don't enter here.
Yeah.
Or Steve doesn't die on the rocks, but goes into the water and then gets mauled by a sea lion. And everyone's like, we don't enter here.
No.
Or Steve lands into the water, looks back up. And he's like, you sons of bitches. And then they're all like, it's safe. Steve's alive. Everybody in. And they're all jumping after him.
We were just joking, Steve.
Yeah, crash test penguin, I guess.
So who is there an alpha male of the pack that chooses?
From what I can read, there's no alpha male that specifically goes around picking someone to push it in. It's almost like a surprise to whoever gets pushed in.
It's don't almost stand like, near the front.
Push or be pushed.
Because surely if you were hanging out with this group of penguins, you'd cotton on after a while.
You'd feel.
You'd be like, I'm just going to be at the back, like you say.
Step away from
they're
the
like,
edge.
Steve, you'll never guess what's up here. Come and have a look. No, I'm all right back here at the back. Steve, it's free fish. All right, come out. Go, Steve. Splush. Your sons of bitches. Steve's alive. Everybody jump in. Wait. Blah, 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 blah. Steve just got eaten. Back up. No. We're going to need a new Steve. So, yeah, it's somebody, the wildlife photographers thought it was a one-off and one had just fallen, but then they noticed as they watched, every time these penguins got to a cliff, one of them would just be like, push the other one and just
so
see
if
it survived.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely ruthless. So today's fact of the day is Adelie penguins can be total a-holes.
Fact of the day.
FEM. Megan had her surgery on Friday to have some screws and stuff released. Released from her body. Released from the prison. And we talked about this just before. So this, if you've been listening to the show this morning, that won't be news. Here's something that's just come to light, though. Intern Brown Nose here.
What?
Delivered Megan a sort of a gift basket.
Listen to.
Of Megan's so-called favourites that I've never heard her mention, but she must have because Anya heard about
also,
it.
Also, you kept in the group chat over the weekend. Are you okay, Megan? We're all just like, I should be fine.
Do you hear yourselves? God, just like she's being nice and actually caring about someone.
Yeah,
and
she should have
like,
put
it
This wouldn't be a problem if she'd put my name on the gift basket.
Do you know what? I thought about doing that and then I thought I'd get more shit for doing that.
No, even if you just said, hey, guys, I got to do this. Do you want to put your name on the thing? I would have been like, yeah.
No,
and I would have even
you
given you some
no
money towards
input
it.
In it.
So what you went out and bought her a whole lot of stuff. Put it in a gift basket and then took it to her house.
Well, yeah, because I was at the mall and I was like, and we were, I can't remember, I think I texted you being like, oh, hope it goes well because, you know, absolute halo BFFs. Angel, yeah. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll just get her a little magazine or something because she'll be up on her, you know, feed up all weekend.
How
and then
nice
I just like
that?
Thought about a couple more things.
Magazines, you've heard of the internet, right?
Such a brown noser.
I got home from hospital and on the doorstep was like Coke Vanilla Zero, a big one. A little protein bar, my favourite one. Yeah, magazine, like lots of little treats in there. And it's here from Anya.
Goodness me. I'm just trying to find. I'm scrolling back in the.
More.
No, I didn't end up sending that. I did think about it on Thursday night, sending you the group chat. Good luck with your procedure tomorrow. Did I not send that through?
The thought was there. You thought it.
The thought was there.
Do you know, it's just weirder that you guys are so upset that she was like caring.
No, she's brown.
Like, what is this?
No, because, and it's also because you know Megan wouldn't do that for you.
What? One time I was sick and Megan dropped me home. So I was thinking,
yeah,
I was
but
like,
you're on the way. If you live by the airport, she wouldn't know.
No, I'm not on the way. She had to go far north.
No. I went out of my way.
Yeah.
Ish. You live on the shore. So that's
all
not going
sure.
out of
I mean,
way.
Once you're over that bridge, it's all yeah. pretty much one spot.
Me and Anya give each other presents all the time.
All the
We're
time.
We're sly BFFs.
What
yeah.
the...
I just,
I could hardly talk on like... Friday, and I dragged myself to work. No sick days here, buddy.
Chin up, Buttercup. You'll get over it.
Where was my basket of goodies?
Vaughn just gets upset whenever he's like shown up in any capacity, like,
and he's not getting attention, so he's yeah. not getting a gift basket attention, and he's been showing up.
Vaughn's moment of introspection. It's about the intern being a brown noser, and might I say, not equally brown nosing.
Oh, so you want
Megan
in on
holds
some
no
of the...
political sway around here?
She's a minority party.
Talk to the ruling caucus. I am very influential.
He's Russia and he's Trump.
Wait, who is Trump? Who is
Why
Trump?
Am I Trump?
Fleet is Trump.
Oh, yeah, sure. You'd be Trump.
I'd rather be Putin. I mean, that guy gets stuff done. It's horrible. It's ghastly. He's a monster, but he's got to get stuff done.
We all know that Caitlin wears a pants around here, so she's really
She's Merkel. Yeah. She's Angela Merkel. She's Angela.
You're a German Chancellor Merkel.
Is he hot?
It's a she.
She's no, she's not. I mean, I'm sure she's lovely.
Okay, so I wear the pants, but I'm not hot. Good to know, guys.
No,
Anna, I need a basket. I'm really sad.
Oh, gosh. Ashley, what is your story for Last Calls this morning?
So my story is I was at a gig in town, mm-hmm. and with heaps of friends and heaps of people. There were heaps of people there.
Yeah.
And I decided to jump up on the speaker box and start dancing because I was having the best time ever.
Yeah.
And so everyone was yahooing, and I mean, there was a guy there that I really liked, and he was kind of interested. Okay. And so kind of got to the point where I was really tired, so I wanted to jump down. And when I jumped down, I actually broke all the bones in the top of my foot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How high up were you?
It was quite high, like a good 2 metres maybe.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
And you broke the bones on the top of your foot?
Well, because since I've been, like, done dancing and aerobics and gymnastics and stuff, apparently, like, when I went to the doctor, they said just it's really, like, just the way the impact, it just shattered, like, all, you know, like, your long, the toe bones, like, the long ones at the top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're drunk, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Totally. And I mean, but the funny thing is, though, I'd only had like 2 drinks. I wasn't super wasted or anything.
Now, what about the guy you were trying to impress?
So I had to pretend that I wasn't in like excruciating pain. So I kind of like hobbled over, and because he came over and was like, oh, you're all right. Like, that was so cool.
You're like, yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, this is cool, man.
And, it turns out, like, he kind of, I was like, oh, you know, I think I need to go home now. Like, I'm a little bit sore. And so he drove me home, like, in my car. And because, I mean, I was only planning on having 2 drinks.
Yeah.
And so drove me home in the car. And then the rest is history. We're married now.
It actually did work, and you did impress him.
It did. He must not have had the best standards in people.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right, Ashley, wait there. We'll vote in a sec. Vicky, what's your story for Last Calls?
Hi. I decided over the weekend that I wanted to wear, like, a nice slinky dress out to a party.
Okay.
And my mum, I was trying it on, and my mum was like, no. You need some like control undies just to like make it look better.
Yeah.
What are control undies? Like Spanx or something?
Spanx, yeah, that's what they're called. Spanx.
Right.
Granny looking Bridget Jonesy kind of undies.
Okay. And,
Mum lent me hers. She's like, I've got this just the pair. So she lent me hers.
Okay.
And when I was at the party, I was having a few drinks and I started to get like reflux, kind of, you know, like, 'cause it was digging into my stomach.
Right.
So I decided to just pop off to the loo and I would just take them off because by this point it was dark and no one would know. And so I took them off and I popped them under my arm and I just walked back out again. But I had to open the door. So I opened the door and walked out, went and sat down. And then I looked over and there was like a group of guys standing there. And my granny undies, my mum's granny undies, sitting there. And I looked and I was like, oh no. So I thought, because I didn't know them. And so I just sort of slinkied over and just like picked them up and ran away. But there was just a whole group of people sitting in like a other room and watching this whole thing unfold.
Oh, and I would have let them go.
Their mum's won them back. She would have hit me up.
Is that, I'm still stuck on the fact that you borrowed mum's undies. Is that weird?
I know. I wore my own underneath.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Safety guarded. Safety guarded.
So you've doubled undied. Yeah. You've double undied. Okay.
And so that, yeah, I thought it was a great plan. Just take them off and they'll be fine. And
oh.
It was a glitch.
Yeah,
a glitch, but yeah.
Did anybody that you know see it all happen? Or
Yeah. Oh, a lot of my mates were sitting there, and I didn't know those, so I thought I'd got away with it, and then they all came out and was like, ah!
You're right, brilliant. Okay, Vicky, wait there. Let's vote the Tribal Council for our favourite story.
Confusing.
Oh, no, I thought you'd held up an extra finger. I was like, we don't have nine today, Megan.
Fletch
it's seven
is
or eight.
Struggling to count.
It's eight. Vicky, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You can.
At least something good came of it.
Yeah exactly.
Was Mum stoked to get her undies back? Does she know the fiasco they caused?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan. The podcast. For more, catch them every weekday from 6. Damn.